Rosaline is casting a glance at the kettle on the cooker's back burner. I know she's hoping I'll be wetting the tea, but I've heard enough of her prattle and need to be alone to think my thoughts. Well, I say in a brisk way, I promised my boarder sausages for supper. 'Tis sorry I am I can't be offering you a cup of tea, but it's getting on toward noon and my casings won't be stuffing themselves, and I expect you've got errands to be doing. I give her a kindly nod to gentle the sting. She looks a bit startled, but up she gets and fidgets herself into her coat, and soon enough I'm bundling her out the door. Sure, I'm glad to be seeing the back of her, though I know she'll likely be spending what's left of the morning noising it all over Amherst that Miss Margaret Maher's too full of herself to be sharing a cup of tea with a friend. Soon as she's out the door, it strikes me I could have been right about the maid's story. It might not even be true. Wouldn't be the first time Rosaline scattered fables amidst her gossip. From the window, I watch her pass my brother-in-law's house and across the yard to the train depot. Wonder how many other ears she'll be bending before she gets home today. Seems strange I didn't hear her news from my niece first. Nell's always stopping by to tell me what she hears around town. Makes it all the more unlikely there's reason to believe Rosaline. The more I think on it, the less sense it makes. Why in heaven's name would Mattie D be selling the homestead? She loves the place as much as I do, surely. She's the last of the Dickinson line to own it, and she knows the big yellow house is a treasure, sitting so proud behind its handsome hedge and fence. Taking care of the homestead was my job for 30 years. When I left back in 1899 and walked down Main Street to my sister's place in Kelly Square, I thought I was shed of the Dickinsons for good. Felt like a blessing that sorry day, with Emily and Austin and Vinnie all gone to their graves and the house shut up like a tomb. Now I can't pass the place without wanting to take another peek inside. I'm always glancing at the upstairs west windows where Emily's bedroom was. More than once I've spied a white flutter there and wondered, was it a trick of the light or maybe her ghost? The queer thing is, I always walk on feeling more comfort than chill, as if the place is consecrated. Mattie D inherited everything after Vinnie died, the houses and land and all her grandfather's money. Last time I saw her was at her mother's funeral, but I remember her best as a girl running along the path between the homestead and the evergreens, carrying notes back and forth between her mother and Emily. 40 years ago it must have been. She was lively and full of spark as Emily herself. The pair of them headstrong and fierce, full of secrets and schemes. Used to think they were clever as new minted dollars. But Mattie D sometimes uses her cunning in heedless ways, like running off to Europe and marrying a Russian, like renting out the homestead. That unsettled me, to be sure, but I saw the need. A house needs people living inside or it goes to ruin. Needs curtains at the windows and lamplight glowing in the parlours at dusk. Needs the clinking of silverware on china and the creaking of stairs from time to time as folks go up and down. It's calmed me knowing it still belongs to a Dickinson. It's plain I need to find out what's true and what's not, before it's too late. And at the minute, smack in the midst of stuffing sausage casings, I resolve to pay a call to the Evergreens this very afternoon. I'll talk to Mattie D face to face and root out the truth, and if need be, I'll give her a piece of my mind. I finish up quick with the sausages and give the table and counters a good scrubbing. Scrub my hands too to get the sausage smell off them, and then for good measure, I rub them with a dollop of Heinz honey and almond cream from the bottle Nell gave me last Christmas. In my bedroom, I change into a clean skirt and blouse, and for good luck, pin my new hat to my head at a jaunty angle. It's when I'm regarding myself in the mirror, I'm struck by a familiar jingly feeling, like I'm starting on a new adventure. Seems the homestead still has the same uncanny pull on me it did back in 1869 when I first came under its spell.